And the scripture reading for this morning is John 1. And we shall be reading verses 1 to 13. John 1, reading from 1 to verse 13. We read the following words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light that shines in the dark, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our text is verse 7, John 1, verse 7. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to this passage that's before us, we see us in the verse that we've read as our text, that there was a man who came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe, speaking of John the Baptist. As we think of the ministry of John the Baptist, we also have to think of the ministry of John the Baptist as far as what his message was. And that takes us to the opening words of John 1, where we read the following word in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." To that, John came to bear witness. And when you read the opening words of John, we see that John starts his book with that which is most important. And as we study this passage more and more, we find a message most profound. For first of all, we speak in the beginning that there was this Word, which takes us back to the creation when God created the heavens and the earth and all that there is. And it takes us to the fact that when it speaks about that creation, that there was also that Word that was in the beginning. Not only was God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but also speaks about that Word that became flesh. That Word was also in the beginning. Now, in our translation, it says the Word, we can also think of God speaking. The Word that became flesh, God speaking to us. God speaking, and God, that Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. When you think of the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, God dwelling in the midst of us. We see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all that there is. And then at the end of creation, he also creates man in his image. So we see God the Creator, and we also see the creation that God had made. And we see the crown of that creation, man himself, made in the very image of God, made good, made to know God, made to communicate with God, God communicating with him, God speaking his Word to man, the same Word that had created man. And we see man then also responding, man communicating with the ability to speak, to love God, God loving man, and man being able to, created to love God intimately, an intimate relation between God and man being placed over creation, to govern creation, to have dominion over creation, and to indeed present creation and develop creation for the glory and honor of God, man made to give God the glory and the honor in all that he did. We see that then man was made in perfect justice and perfect love and perfect truth. But at the same time, in the beginning, we read about then man falling into sin. We see then sin coming into creation. And that communication, God communicating with man and man communicating with God, is broken. And when man comes then looking for, when God comes into the garden looking for man, then man, instead of coming to God, hides himself, refuses to communicate with God, because he knew that he was naked. He knew that he had sinned against God. And man, therefore, is thrown out of the garden and is not able to eat of the tree of life because he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore, we see sin entering into the world and a brokenness and evil that sin has caused. And the depth of that brokenness is man's inability and man's unwillingness to listen to God. And so when John opens his passage and speaks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John is speaking about God then coming to man as his Word. God desiring, willing, through his decrees, through his will, to come to man, to communicate again with man, that man may be restored in order to communicate with him. To love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength, and to love his neighbor as ourselves. When you think of the world, when you think of the troubles in the world, when you see how people raise themselves up against other peoples, when you see their demonstrations, when we hear the hate and the rage that man can express, how he hates his fellow man, and thereby also expresses his hate to God. Man who does not know God hates God. There is no other way. Either man loves God or man hates God. And therefore we read in John 1, God coming to us in pure love in order to communicate himself with us, in order to live with us. And then we see, therefore, if we connect John 1, verse 1, with verse 14, we read those words, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word then comes and dwells among us and takes upon himself our nature, our likeness, our image. He becomes man. He takes our flesh and blood and dwells among us. So we see God, the Creator, the Other, the One who has created, then taking upon himself the form of one of his created beings, taking the form of man, becoming man in order to dwell with us. Jesus Christ, the God-man. It says in verse 2, to repeat, therefore, the emphasis is Jesus Christ being God himself, being very God, as well as being very man. It says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. He was with God because he was God, as it says in verse 1. And the Word was God, eternally God, without beginning and without end, the Alpha and the Omega. Then to emphasize his creation, in verse 3, we see these words, all things were made through him, and through him nothing was made that was made. When you go back to the creation account, we see God's Spirit moving over the face of the earth. And then we see God speaking. God creating with his Word. Just by speaking, he is able to create, expressing the desires of his will, the desires of his heart, and he makes all that there is, his wisdom expressed, his Word expressed. God then creating through Jesus Christ all that there was. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Expressing clearly that Jesus Christ, as God, was not made. Indeed, that he was God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the most blessed Trinity. And then in verse 4, we have those words, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Again, we think of man being cast out of the garden. God refusing to allow man to eat of the tree of life. The tree of life then prohibited because man had fallen into sin. We see the generations of man, that man, because he had fallen into sin, must die. We see the generations of Adam. They lived for so many years, 900 and so many years, and yet each man must die. Man must die because he has broken covenant with God, and therefore he must pay the consequences of his sin. The way of sin is death. We live in a poor country, in the country of Honduras. We see much hate. We see man willing to kill just for a cell phone, just to rob some money from a person. He wants what the other has. He wants to steal. And if a person resists, he will kill. He breaks God's commands. He does not love what God has said. He does not love God's spoken word. But we prefer to get his own, whether it involves taking the life of another. The way of sin, then, is the way of death. Again, in John 1, verse 4, we see that the Bible declares clearly, but in God, there is life. Man has sought to find exactly how does life begin. Can we create life? Can man create life? And it has been an impossible task because only God can create life. Life is found in God alone. We see man creating, God creating man and then breathing life into man. That life can only come from God. And when we think that man, because of sin, has been destined to die, that the only way to reverse the consequences of sin is by God alone. And we hear that Jesus Christ then becomes God, man, dwelling amongst us, that he indeed is the life of God, that in him, when we look to Jesus Christ, we see life and we can live. Jesus Christ came to earth to grant life. Those who follow him will receive life in abundantly, life eternally. Our life is found in Jesus Christ alone. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We think of light. What is light? We know that light comes from the sun. We know in the morning the sun comes up and there's light. At night there's darkness, an absence of light. But what is life in itself? And yet we know if we come into a dark room, we turn on the switch, there's light. The darkness disappears and there's light. The light is shining. We know where light comes from. It comes from a light bulb. And yet we do not know what light itself is. And yet here it says that this light is a life that is in Jesus Christ. Later on in John, John again speaks about that light, that man indeed chooses, those who do not seek to come to light, to live in darkness because their deeds are evil. And because their deeds are evil, they refuse to come to light and prefer to live in darkness. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And here again, verse 5, we read about that darkness and says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When the light shines, when Jesus Christ's light shines, the darkness flees. When God, Jesus Christ chooses to shine forth, we see all around us many that choose to live in darkness. We see all around us the consequences of their choices, the violence, the evil, the suffering, the pain, the hurt, that's caused because man refuses to come to God, because man refuses to receive that light. This takes us to verse 6, where it says these words, those men sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. God then choosing John, man chosen by God, a man selected by God, a man put aside by God even before he was born. We can read of that. the son of Zacharias, Elizabeth, already in the womb, those words of the angels, that this man was a man chosen by God, that he would prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. And again, we see John repeating those words in this passage. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. As a missionary, I've received that noble task. I can't always say I've been that faithful to that task. But I received that noble task to declare in the midst of much suffering. When one comes to a poor country where so many have lived for generations, sinful, degrading lifestyle, a life of immorality, a life of corruption, a life of where people steal and defraud and cheat their neighbors as a way of life. And we come and we look at these cultures that man has formed, a culture of not knowing God. And we see the veneer of Christianity that had been raised in these countries, where they'll go through the external forms, thinking that thereby, by following these external forms, their observances, their fast days, their processions, their sacraments, by these means they think they can be saved through their works. Many people want to ask themselves, now if you were to die and you were to go to heaven, why would God allow you into his heaven? Or first of all, would God allow you to heaven? And they'll reply, well, I haven't been so bad. I haven't beaten my wife so much. I haven't fooled around that much. I don't get drunk anymore. I'm not as bad as the other guy. And after all, no one's perfect. So I've lived more or less a good life, and I'm working at it. So I think God will let me into heaven. And then I'll say, but heaven is a pure place. Heaven is where there is no sin. Would God let you into heaven as a sinful being? And they don't know what to say. They've been trying to pay for their sins, but they know there's still sin in their lives, that they're still sinning. And here we see these beautiful words, those men who was sent from God, who is sent to declare that good news of salvation, that light that shines in the darkness, that those who come to that light, those who believe in that light, will indeed have eternal life. He came that they may believe, that they may have true faith, not a faith based on what I'm doing, how good I am, because we're just never good enough. We've always sinned and we're always sinning, whether that be just thoughts, desires, or actions. Who can say he's lived a sinless life all his life? We fall short. We fall. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he came to take upon himself all our sins, dying on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins to pay the ransom of many. And then through his power, resurrecting on the third day, showing that indeed in him as God, there is truly life. And therefore giving us the promise of the resurrection and also granting us spiritual life, those who are dead in their sin and trespasses. God comes and grants them life through Jesus Christ, that we indeed may live and have life in abundance. And so when you die, we know that when we come before the throne of God, we are unworthy in ourselves. If we were to be judged based on our own consciences of what we have seen in ourselves and what we have done, there is no man that would be worthy to stand before the throne of God. But as we come before the throne of God, we know, for we have read in that word, that Jesus Christ came. And that when we appear before that throne, he will be the one that will stand up for us and say, but he is mine. I died. I shed my blood for all of his sins. He has life in me alone. This is the good news that John came to bear witness. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might we believe. And when we see John the Baptist ministering, he comes to men, broken men, that were living in their sins and their trespasses, and he declares that their ways were to be made straight. When we think of a person living in sin, he tries this. He tries that. Because he's looking to better his life in one way or another. But as he looks and as he looks and he looks, he's always looking for life in the wrong places. And all he finds, after looking this way and that way, is frustration and conflict and evil and death. There is no way. There is no way. But the way from God, the way that God has granted to us. And what is that way? How can we find that way? When I think of my own ministry through all these years that we've worked in Honduras, what is it that we do? What is my job? And when this passage I've used a lot, I love the book of John. When you see this passage in verse 7, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That's my task. I come to the people of Latin America, to Honduras, and I declare, I proclaim the word of God. Many times I'll tell my people, the people that we work with, I'll say, well, we have found, through this Bible, through this word that God has given to us, we have found life. What we have found is so good. Before, we just didn't know it. So many of them lived broken lives, evil lives. So often I've had to counsel people, and as I counsel people, as I talk with them, you find in their hearts all this hate. It's just ingrown into their hearts. They just hate and hate and hate. I hate the rich man. I hate the rich man because he oppresses me. I hate Americans because America oppresses the world. I hate my sister because she's always chewing me out. And it's just this hate that twines itself and winds itself around the heart and hardens the heart. And so we have to just dig in and dig in and dig in. And see, you've just got to let it go. And the only way that they can let it go is to go to the Word of God and come to recognize that God is love. And because he loved us so much, he was willing to send his own son to this world to take upon himself our sins. He was willing to die on the cross of Calvary that we could live our lives. And so one goes within themselves, but they don't go alone. They go through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit takes hold of a person's life, it starts to teach them the divine truth that we have in Scripture. And as you go deeper and deeper, light starts to shine. And they come to grasp and to understand the content of Scripture. And the more they grasp the content of Scripture, the more they get into the Word of God, little by little, the hate starts to dissolve. Those roots start to loosen up. And they learn to love. Now, in this life in which we live, we'll never love perfectly. That perfect love is shown to us by the Father through the Son, indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And thereby we start to pick ourselves up and we start to learn how to love, that we can indeed live lives that are pleasing to God. So John then comes to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He declares that word. He declares God speaking to us. He speaks that word. But it's not his word. He comes to bear witness. It's not a word that he invents. It's not a religion that he invents. Rather, John receives that light from heaven. And he reflects that light unto man. It's not his word. He's only a witness. If we go later on to the passage we used earlier in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Again, here we see John referring to the beginning, to that creational act, that powerful act when God created all that there was. Where it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that which we have heard. There's a message, there's a witness that we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Indeed, the disciples walking with Jesus, seeing him with their own eyes, hearing the words from Jesus Christ, hearing the word of the Word made flesh, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Seeing, hearing, believing. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched. That apostolic word. Again in John 1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see John placing the cornerstone. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's the cornerstone of our faith. We declare, first of all, Jesus Christ. We have the teaching of Scripture. All that has been revealed, all that we have seen and heard. The apostolic and prophetic teaching. The Bible, that's our foundation. As we go out into the world, as we go out into the countries of this world, unto the nations, as we bring that word unto the ends of the earth, what is the word that we declare? The Bible. It's not our word. It's not our interpretation. It's not what we think. But we bring an absolutely authoritative word. And we say, this is the word of God. You must believe it. This is what we give witness of. This is the light for the life of man. Without this word, you cannot live. It's in the Bible. You must believe it. There's no other way that you can find life. There's no other message but that which has been declared to us, that which we have received, that message brought to us upon angels and declared to the apostles, the revelations and visions granted to them in that time. And that we continue to give witness of. We see this so clearly in John 1 in the following verses. First of all, we see then in verses 1 to 6, 1 to 5, what that message is, the word. We see John sent to give witness. Later on, the apostles sent to give witness. And thereby, all those who've been called, sent out to give witness of that word. And then we also have a disclaimer. A disclaimer because so often those who go out to proclaim the word become confused. It's so easy to, rather than looking to what you're proclaiming, to look at your ability to persuade man, the eloquence of man. The Bible speaks about that the ability to use your gifts in a way that rather than reflecting that light that comes from God above and seeking to present that life to those we come into contact with, we start to deflect or reflect only our own hearts, our own desires. And rather than seeking to bring man to God, how often is it so that man seeks to bring man to man, and thereby seeks to gain by that. And we see that so often, evangelists, apostles, prophets, pastors that come and they put their faces all over with their messages and they declare their message, their revelations, their visions, saying they're directly from God, but in the end, everything is directed to their own ministries, to the proclamation of their own names. But we see that in verse 8 to verse 10, a disclaimer. It says in verse 8, he was not that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. It's interesting, the minister John the Baptist, how short of ministry he had before he was beheaded. He came to bear witness of the light, but once Jesus Christ was established, then John fades away. The books, the evangelists, start with John, but then John fades away because the focus is only to prepare the way for the one. Prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And all those who witness then of the gospel, those who proclaim the Bible, must realize we are only ambassadors. It's not our message. It's not our gospel. It's not our ministry. We are only tools used by God to declare the mysteries of God, to seek to bring people to, not to our own ministry, but to Jesus Christ. And we then must seek prayerfully to be used by God, that indeed we may give witness only of that light that is in Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light that was in Jesus Christ, that was a true life which gives light to every man coming into the world. And already we see that in the beginning of the book of John. John comes to bear witness of that light, where the Apostle John declares that light that John the Baptist was giving witness of in verse 10 says, but he was in the world. He was already in the world. And we see that already when we read about Jesus Christ coming, being born in Bethlehem, and the Magi come to search for him. They come into Jerusalem and start asking around, where is the kingdom that was born? Everyone's confused. Kingdom was born? There's no king that was born. They go to that palace of Herod. Is there a king here that was born? No. And Herod's confused and he's troubled. But then we read about Herod being troubled. It's not just Herod that was troubled, but all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. A king? What king? And Herod consults with the Pharisees. And says, is there a king to be born? And they go to Scripture and say, yes, there will be a king that will be born, but he'll be born in Bethlehem if you're talking about the Messiah. He won't be born here in Jerusalem. But we think of Herod, we can understand he's troubled. He's a pagan ruler. But that Jerusalem is troubled that the Messiah may have been born. We must ask ourselves, why would the Jews be troubled? And we can only conclude because they were not ready for the coming of the King of Glory. They were living their lives in sin and wickedness. We see it more later on when we think of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees continually troubling Jesus Christ, continually seeking to trap him, to make him stumble. They hated Jesus Christ because they had chosen to live a life apart from the true message, even though they had Scriptures. And Jesus Christ would say, but read Scriptures. It's said of me in Scripture. They refused to listen to the Word of God because they indeed had come to they had come to give witness only of themselves and not of that true life. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, to the Jews, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. They crucified him on the cross of Calvary. They spit upon him. They mocked him. But in verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here we see then that John declares clearly all of this. From the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. All of it is of God. It's of God. The work of being an evangelist, the work of being a missionary, the work of being a pastor, the work of being a member of a congregation, it's all of God, that we can indeed believe, that we can say we are the people of God, that he has delivered us from our sins and trespasses, that we can worship together, that we can love, that we can have life, that we can seek to fight against sin and seek to live a life for the glory and honor of God. It's all of God. It's the will of God. It's God working within us. For we are, in ourselves, nothing but sinners. I was talking to someone and he asked me, Reverend Angley, if I were to pray for you, what would you want me to pray for? And I said, that I and the people that I work with may come to know God more. We may live holy lives. Because that's what's most important, to come to know God more and more and more. I have a joy in my heart, and that's the opening up of Scripture, listening to Scripture, seeking to understand Scripture, and to give Scripture, to communicate Scripture to others. That is such a good work. It's a joyous work to come to people living in the midst of their sins and to say, you know what? It's not hopeless. There is a God. He lives over all. He has granted us the most beautiful work. He has granted us the work of Jesus Christ that saves us. There's hope in the midst of the most hopelessness of situations. God is hope. God is love. He is our life. He is the one who has granted us life. And it's all of Him. It's not by the work of our hands, but it's by what He has done. He has granted us life. And how you live. What's your life for? What do you live for? Do you experience that life within yourselves? Can you say, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart? I know that my Savior lives. And because He lives, I also live. And are you willing to share that word with others? To tell others, Jesus Christ, He is the Word. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the Word of hope. You also can live. Your life isn't hopeless. There is life. There's life in God alone. Are you willing to bring people to the point where they're willing to read Scripture and open Scripture up to them and see it says right here. Are you reading Scripture? Are you in Scripture daily, day and night? Do you pray to God, seeking to breathe that Scripture as God brings it to you back to God, living a life in fellowship with God through His Word, living indeed a life of loving God and loving your neighbor. May indeed that Word of God that was in the beginning also live within your lives. And may you indeed experience the joy of living a life in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.